We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
The NCAA basketball tournament brings fans out of the woodwork. If not for the games themselves, the practice of predicting winners in the annual office pool. A University of Illinois computer science professor has followed the tournament's history and determined the probability of success for a team based on their seeding. Illinois Public Media's Jeff Bossert talked with Professor Sheldon Jacobson about the practice of analyzing bracketology.
We had done the original research a couple years ago, which introduced us to bracketology. And then more recently, after last year's tournament, we started to play with the numbers and look at the models and discovered these trends in terms of the seed distributions, particularly in the later rounds. We actually published a paper on this in an academic scholarly journal. So it's not just a group of people putting together some ideas. It's actually based on some scientific foundations, which is quite interesting.
Talk about the foundations of this, deciding that a formula should be applied to this and maybe something that people can go on when they're filling out the brackets.
Sure. Yeah. When we started to look at this a year ago and started to see these trends and how the seed distributions fell in the tournament in each of the rounds, we eventually did the research, did statistical analysis, and validated the model using 26 years of data, and were absolutely astounded how well the model fit the data and how we, in fact, became able to assess the likelihood of different seed combinations, particularly in the later rounds of the tournament. So as a result, I then recruited a couple of computer science students, Aman Dai and Amar Rizwan, who are in the computer science department here at the University of Illinois, and developed the website Bracket Odds, which now is getting literally hundreds of uses per hour around the world, literally, of people who are interested in assessing their brackets.
Has anybody come back and said, I don't believe this formula is going to work? How is it that this can be an exact science? Anyone disputed the nature by which you develop this?
Some people have questioned our assumptions, but the interesting thing is that when you look at what the results say, even if the assumptions that people believe we're making may be flawed or suspect, the reality is that the results are amazingly good and the numbers don't lie. So as a result, we're very confident that the results that we're giving actually are quite indicative of how brackets unfold as the tournament progresses.
Filling out brackets is a pretty high-stakes thing for a lot of people. I mean, have we heard about the odds in Vegas and people using this with a lot of financial interest involved?
Oh, absolutely. When it comes to bracketology and setting brackets, the stakes are quite high. So any way that a person could obtain an edge in their assessment certainly is something that attracts people. And I think that's one of the reasons that the website is getting so much attention right now. It wasn't the purpose of our creating it. It was a project to allow students to transition academic research into a user-friendly tool, and the students have enjoyed the experience. But it's become even bigger than what we had anticipated.
Filling this out, it goes on from the Elite Eight.
That's correct.
So what kind of advice have you applied prior to that?
Well, I guess one way to actually look at how you can use the tool is to take a bracket and see what a person's bracket is saying. So what I did is I took President Obama's bracket and said, how can we look at his bracket and assess, in fact, whether he has a reasonable bracket? In the first round, he basically has four double-digit upsets. Statistically speaking, he's a little on the low side. For teams seeded 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16, we tend to see around four such upsets on average. He only has two such upsets. So as a result, he has a very conservative bracket. As he progresses, for example, into the Sweet 16, he has four twos, four ones, four threes, and two fours and fives. Another very conservative bracket. What he could have done, in fact, is taken out one of the ones and maybe had a four or five seed advancing at that point. We tend to see quite a few ones, twos, and threes in the Sweet 16, but to see all 12 is very, very rare. When you go to the Elite Eight, he has four ones, two twos, and two threes. He would have been better having one of those four ones being a four and one of those threes being a six, and he would have improved his odds by around 40%.
So you were interviewed on national news. I would expect that to be a pretty hot topic is how did the president fill out his brackets?
Exactly. And it's, interesting enough, a very, very conservative bracket. He could have been riskier in choosing a few more upsets and actually would have resulted in a more likely bracket, which seems counterintuitive, but nonetheless, we all expect ones to advance. And they tend to advance quite well. However, even when you flip a coin and it's very likely to be ahead, 95%, you will see a few tails. And as a result, ones do eventually lose. Occasionally in the second round, often in the Sweet 16, frequently in the Elite 8, and on average, we tend to see just two or so number ones in the Final Four. And he, of course, has all four, which occurs on average around once every 39 years. It's only happened once in the last 26, in fact.
And you've worked in, like you said, the odds. I mean, there are odds on are in favor of one of, a few of these upsets, that we will have some kind of Cinderella story come out of maybe not all the way to the Elite Eight or Final Four, but somebody getting advancing that on paper has no business getting there.
Oh, absolutely. If we look, for example, in each of the rounds, you can see that there are certain trends that occur. For example, just in the first round, on average, we will tend to have one to two teams seeded 13 or worse appearing every year. In fact, this occurs with great frequency. If we also look, for example, in the Sweet 16, we tend to see one or two teams seeded 11 or worse. In fact, in 22 of the last 26 tournaments, we have had at least one team seeded 11 to 16 appearing in the Sweet 16. So it's not necessarily easy to determine who it's going to be, but with extremely high probability, it does occur. Then the other issue, of course, is what happens in the Final Four, which is another exciting round. And the interesting thing is that you're five times more likely to have no number one seeds in the Final Four than to have four number one seeds in the Final Four. Yet everyone seems to like to put a lot of number ones in the Final Four. We tend to see around two or so in the Final Four with great regularity, slightly over two. But to actually have four, it doesn't occur very often. It's only occurred once, in fact, in the last 26 years.
There's a study from Washington University that was sent to us, a co-author of a paper in 2008, the effect of making a prediction about the outcome of a consumption experience on the enjoyment of that experience. They claim that there's a school of thought that the act of prediction increases enjoyment, but the professor here said he found that consumers who make predictions often experience less enjoyment. I guess that they have the emotion involved, and I guess the other issue there is a lot of people will vote with their hearts rather than the true odds against your team. For example, a lot of people here will probably pick the Illini to win.
Absolutely. And in the first round, even though the odds are right now slightly against them, historically, number nines do actually slightly better than number eights. However, number nines, if they do win against number eights in the first round, in the second round, are disasters. They've only won four times since they've been able to advance. So I agree with that statement wholeheartedly, that in many ways, the joy of the tournament is the visceral experience of setting up a bracket and the wishes and hopes of watching your Cinderella advance. What our tool does is put that on the side and look at what the facts are. And it doesn't mean that you're going to necessarily follow the facts, but at least you know the facts exist. And you can make decisions based on both your heart and your head.
Jeff Bossert talked with U of I computer science professor Sheldon Jacobson, who's developed a model for NCAA basketball fans when filling out their brackets. His website and a video interview with Jacobson can be found at our website, will.illinois.edu.